I want to welcome everyone here this morning. With all the sickness going around, it's good to see everyone that is able to be out here. My lesson this morning was actually prompted by my last sermon. Those of you that don't remember, I made a comment and then a question was asked afterward. And my comment was, how far does God's grace reach? And if we really think about the word grace, and we've all have heard lessons on it, we read about it in Scripture, and we're going to do that this morning. But what is grace? What does it mean to have grace? Well, the simple answer is, it's benevolence. It's favor. We have come to understand that it is unmerited favor or unearned. So you can't earn grace. Doesn't make sense to our human thinking. It's unearned. It's grace. And we're going to see that actually grace is a free gift from God. And we'll see just really how free that gift is. It is undeserved. It is an undeserved benefit from God. You turn to Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The free gift there is grace. We go back to Romans chapter 5 and in verse 15. But the free gift is not like the transgression, for if by the transgression of the one the many died, much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to the many. Grace we have because Christ died for us. The free gift of God. So what does grace do? What does grace do for us? Well, we turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 in verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. So grace saves us. Is that all that saves us? We'll find that that's not all that saves us. Grace alone will not save us. But grace does save. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. Grace brings salvation to mankind. And we know that that was not true under the old law. Under the old law, it was the Jews that had salvation, if you will. But under the new law, when Christ died, grace was extended to the Gentile also. Back in Acts chapter 15, Acts chapter 15, beginning in verse 7, Acts 15, 7, and after there had been much debate, Peter stood up and said to them, Brethren, you know that in the early days God made a choice among you, that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, who knows the heart, bore witness to them, giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he also did to us. And he made no distinction between us and them, cleansing their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why do you put God to the test by placing upon the neck of the disciples a yoke which neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear? But we believe that we are saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus in the same way as they also are. It is beyond a shadow of a doubt that with just a few verses that we looked at just now, that grace does save us. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 24, Romans 3, verse 24, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. One more, Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, beginning in verse 14. Hebrews 4, verse 14, beginning. For he has thus said somewhere concerning the seventh day, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. I'm in the wrong verse, I'm sorry. Verse 14. Hebrews 4, 14. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in time of need. Grace helps us in times of need. Again, going back to the fact that grace is an unmerited gift. It is an unearned gift. There's nothing you and I can do to receive grace. But Kevin, so why are we here? We're saved through grace, yes. But how then is that done? How do we get grace? How do we receive that grace? James chapter 4. In verse 6, James chapter 4, in verse 6, but he gives a greater grace, therefore it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. We have to be humble. That's who grace is for. How is it that we are humble, Kevin? Well, it's through obedience. In Romans chapter 6, Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace might increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, that our body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its lust. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? May it never be. Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, You are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death, or of obedience resulting in righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. The only way that we can receive the grace that God is giving us is through obedience to the word of God. We can no longer be slaves of sin, but we have to be slaves of righteousness. How many of you have ever gotten a birthday card? I would venture to say, at some point in our lives, we all have. And I don't know how many of you have gotten birthday cards and maybe with money in it. I have. So you take your birthday card in the envelope and you lay it on the counter and you never open it. There's a $20 bill sitting in there of no use because you haven't opened the gift. How many of us have gotten birthday presents wrapped up in a nice pretty box? I'd venture to say all of us have at some point in time in our life. So you take the box, you put it on the shelf, and nice pretty wrapping paper. Oh, that looks so nice up there. There's a shirt inside, a blouse inside, but it's of no use to you because you didn't open the box. In today's society, what else do we get? We get gift cards. It's not money. It's not a box. It's just a card. A plastic card for Kohl's, for Cheddar's, for Amazon, for you name it, they've all got it, right? That card given to you is worthless if you don't take it to the store and use it. Gift card unused is worthless to everybody. Except, I didn't say that. Pretty good profit margin for the store that you bought it from because you never use it. They got the money, but no merchandise leaves the store. Grace is like that. Grace is a gift from God that he said, it's a free gift, I'm going to give it to you, but you have to obey me. You have to do what I tell you to do. Does that not make sense? I believe it does. So we obey. We're baptized into Christ, as we read in Romans chapter 6. We have to then continually obey the word of God to continually keep the grace that God has given us. In Matthew chapter 7 and in verse 21. Matthew 7 and verse 21. Jesus here says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. In verse 22, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons? And in your name perform many miracles? They were doing what you would think here were good things. They prophesied. They did many miracles. But Jesus said, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. It seems as though there were people that were doing the right things. They were doing something right. doing miracles. And yet Jesus said, you're doing those on your own. You're not doing them because of me. I never knew you. So not everyone who, I would say, and we talked about this in class, I believe, last Sunday morning. We all can come here and we can sit here and we can sing and we can pray and we can take the Lord's Supper and we can give. We can do all those things. And we can still stand, I believe, on the day of judgment and hear these exact words, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Why is that possible? It's possible because our heart isn't right. That's why. We can look good. And some say you can smell good. But you know what? God knows the truth about you and about me. He knows where we stand. He knows where we stand every day, every minute, every second. So if we think that just showing up here occasionally is going to get us through the pearly gates of heaven, we are mistaken. All of us are. We can do the five acts of worship, can't we? And I believe that what we do here on Sunday morning, not that difficult to do. Come here, spend some of us a couple hours. Some of us have been here since about 10 to 9. Spend a couple of hours. Come, take the Lord's Supper, put our money in the basket, pray, sing a few songs, and go home, and we've done our duty. And the reason I asked the question last time I preached, how far does God's grace reach, is because just because we come here, and that includes those of us that come here on Sunday night, that includes those of us that come here to all the Bible classes, that includes all of us that come to all the gospel meetings and never miss, it doesn't matter. That's all well and good. And we should, I believe we should do those things. Amen. However, God still knows what's in here. Doesn't matter if we come and do all those things. If our heart is not right with God, He knows it. I know. I'm going to use Connie because I can use her, I hope. There have been times where she's been sick and she's been in the hospital, and you have all been there too. A lot of you have. But missing a Wednesday evening and then a Sunday and then maybe another Wednesday. And I've talked to some of you about this, and you all have the same attitude as this. What a feeling of loss it is when we haven't been able to be there. Matthew 7:21 is one verse in the whole scripture that if something scares me about God's word, that's it. Because I believe this is not talking, and I've said this before and I'll continue to say it until my dying day, and that is, this is not necessarily saying, talking about the Baptists and the Lutherans and the Catholics and whoever else you want to name of the 3,000 religions there are out there. This is talking about people, I believe, that truly thought they were doing what God wanted to do, Christians. That could be me and you. We don't want to be there. So how do we keep it then, Kevin? How do we get this grace that God so willingly is giving us? It's a gift. We have to open it to maintain it. Back in Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 31. Do not be anxious then, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or with what shall we clothe ourselves? For all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. In my statement that I make, and now I laugh about it because it's still true, and that is, and tomorrow we die. Dustin made a comment in class this morning. I think it's very appropriate. It's not about this life. It's not about the things that we can accumulate. It's not about those things. It's about what can we do in service to God because of what he's done for us. It's about love. The two commandments that we have got to hang on all the time is love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourself. That hangs the whole law of God, both Old and New Testament. So how do we seek first the kingdom of God? How do we show each other? How do we show the world that that's what we are doing? How do we show the world that that's the life we're living? In Colossians chapter 3, Colossians chapter 3, and in verse 17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to him, to God the Father. Whatever we do, in word or deed, we have to do it by the authority of Jesus, by the authority of God, what he has told us to do and how he has told us to do it. And the other one is Revelation chapter 2, and in verse 10. And I think this is where we may struggle. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Be faithful until death. Faithful to what? To whom? It's been a while since I preached that lesson on faithfulness. But that's the only way we're going to receive the grace of God, is by being faithful to him and what we're doing for him. I don't know how many of you ever heard this statement or not, but I heard it years ago, and Connie told me to Google it, see where it came from, but I didn't do that, so I have no idea where the statement, how it started. Some of you may have heard this before and might understand it even more than I do. But the statement goes, where the rubber meets the road. And that is, I know the truth. I know what I have to do. Now am I going to do it? And that's true of life. In any realm, job, school, serving God. When we know what we need to do, we need to go do it. Some of the things that have been talked about, and Luke has said a few things about this, and I want to go back to Luke chapter 10. I was talking about Luke Murphy, I believe. He talked about this one recently. If we go back to see what Jesus told people and what he expected of people, it might give us more of an insight than what he may expect of us. In Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 25, get to the right chapter, I'm sorry. 10, verse 25, beginning. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and put him to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And he said to him, "What is written in the law? How does it read to you?" And he answered and said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." We've already quoted that earlier. And he said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." But wishing to justify himself, he said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied and said, "A certain man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among robbers," and we know the Good Samaritan story. That is not the story that I meant to talk about. We know the Good Samaritan story, but let me go back and now, because I don't know where this one is at off the top of my head. Jesus was asked at a certain point what one must do to inherit eternal life. And he had done the things that Jesus said, but then he told them to go and sell his possessions and give to the poor. And then he said, "And come and follow me." That's the story that I really wanted to say. Jesus knew his heart. Jesus knew that selling his earthly possessions was not in the cards of what he was willing to do. Because the man went away, the rich young ruler, is who the story was. He went away sorrowful, for he was one who had much possession. In John chapter 8 and verse 11, John chapter 8 and verse 11, this is a woman that was caught in adultery. And in verse 11, after all had left, back up to verse 10, "And straightening up, Jesus said to her, 'Woman, where are they? Did no one condemn you?' And Jesus said, and she said, 'No one, Lord.' And Jesus said, 'Neither do I condemn you. Go your way. From now on, sin no more.'" Jesus, there was a stipulation for him not condemning her. "I'm not going to condemn you, but go and sin no more. Don't do that again. Repent." In Mark 8, in verse 34, Mark chapter 8, beginning in verse 34. "And he summoned the multitude with his disciples and said to them, 'If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life shall lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's shall save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in glory of his Father with the holy angels." We have to follow Jesus. Whatever is in our life that is preventing us from doing God's will, we need to get rid of it, whatever it is. Because doing what God wants us to do means we have to deny self. follow him? Are we walking as we should? We're just now getting into Ephesians chapter 4. For those of you that are not in Bible class, Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, entreat you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing forbearance to one another in love. Walk in a manner worthy of the calling. I am not your judge. Neither one of us, none of us, are going to be judges. We, on the day of judgment, will stand before God and his Son, and we will give an account. What is it that we could say that we have done to have eternal life? Does Jesus know you? Does God know you? Does God know me? Yes, he does. He knows each and every one of us. He knows all of his children. He knows if they're faithful or if they're not. He knows, and only he knows. I will be the first to admit that I don't know. How far is God's grace going to reach? Because each and every one of us have to answer that question. Every day, we have to ask ourselves, am I doing what I should do? Am I doing enough? And the answer to that question, I can answer that one. No, it's not enough. Self-included. We can't do enough works because we're not saved of works. We're saved by the free gift of God, grace. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That's what he expects. And if all of us can honestly say that we are walking in a manner worthy of his calling, if we can honestly say to ourselves, I am walking as I ought to walk on a daily basis, then you have confidence. But if you have question about that, if you wonder, am I really doing enough, then maybe you should do more. Maybe I should do more. We're God's workmanship. He created us in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We should walk in those good works. I hope that we could all be encouraged. I wish there was a way. And I have, this is nothing new. I, along with a number of men that have stood up here Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, we've all expressed the same thing in regards to this. I wish. And I understand that. I mean, we have people that are sick right now. Mike and Twyla has been sick. Don's been sick for 2 weeks. Carl and Dolores have been sick for 2 weeks. I get sickness. I'm not talking about that. But when we have the ability to worship with the saints, whenever that is, we ought to be making the effort to be here. There's no reason why not. Because when we don't, we have to ask ourselves the question, am I covered by grace because I'm not doing blank, 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 whatever it is? Am I covered by God's grace when I don't do what is good? Some of you have missed what I believe, and I've only been in for 2 weeks, maybe three. No, two. 2 weeks I've been in Ryan's class on Sunday morning. And those of you that aren't here are missing out. Doing a real good job in the book of Ephesians. And when we're together, I know some of you, this just might not be, I don't get it. I'm sorry. Maybe this isn't exciting to you. Maybe coming to worship God isn't exciting to you. It should be exciting. To me, it should be exciting. We're coming to worship our Creator together. Learning more about His Word. And we all have something to learn. All the time. Every day. Every week. Every month. Every year. There's always more to learn. When you're not here, you're missed. You're missed. And I don't know what more I could do to encourage more people. And this, Kenosha is not different than anybody else. If we don't keep track of our Sunday night and our Wednesday night Bible studies, but, you know, same everywhere. We're not committed sometimes to doing what God wants us to do when we can. I know things come up. I've been there, done that. No, I know. I understand. But when we're able, we should be willing to be together with our brethren in love. So we could do good deeds. We could do good works. We can worship God together. Because I tell you, the grace of God, it does reach deep. It's there for the taking. But God knows our heart. I don't. If you're here this morning and you have not rendered obedience to the word of God, and you know what you must do, today is the day of salvation. And you may be here that you have not lived your life as you ought to live it. There's sin in your life of a public nature that needs to be confessed. Prayers can be offered. And God is a forgiving God. If we repent, He will forgive. And we can move on with our lives knowing that we will have salvation through His grace. If you are subject to the invitation of Christ, we ask you to come on together. We stand and sing.